This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
Welcome back to another episode of the Four Train Savages podcast. This is episode number 125. Tyler, it's been a bit of a layoff for us. Obviously, the last time we spoke was after the Yankees fell in the American League Championship Series in embarrassing fashion. We'll just
got a lot of love on that episode, though, Rob.
Yes,
shout out everyone that
see.
Listened.
Yeah, it was
a lot of people listening.
Yeah, that cried with us. A lot of listeners on that one, so it was cool to see. So
attended
we appreciate you. We appreciate you joining us once again for this episode, as we now officially are going to be talking about off-season moves and everything in between. Talk about the press conference that happened between Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone with the media. That was about a week ago, but there's a lot to dissect. Free agency is now officially underway. There was like a five-day period where the teams that had, I believe it was, that players that were on their team, they can sign them within that time. I think the biggest one that came out of it was Edwin Diaz with the Mets. He re-signed to a huge contract. So anyone that was looking for another $20 million.
A bag he got, dude.
He got a bag. But any Yankee fan that was looking for another $20 million closer on the books was disappointed there. I was not.
I was not.
I'll be honest. But yeah,
we've learned our lesson.
I think, yeah, I'd say so. I hope we did. But we are in full off-season pod mode and going to be talking about moves, going to be getting weird with different conversations of who we may want. And yeah, just talking about all that. But Tyler, we were talking about before we got on that we're in a bit of a better mood than we have been in the last years that we've been talking in off-season pods, was because of our football teams being good. So I guess we're in a better – we needed a little bit of a break.
Jets and Giants, baby.
So we're in a little bit of a better mental state as a good amount of other New Yorkers, I'm sure, are than we would be in past times rooting for the Yankees. And then we're saying, oh, well – looks like we're waiting till April to, but luckily
to
we have
fun again.
Luckily we have some winning teams, but how you been, man? How we doing?
Yeah, I've been doing well. I've really only watched like 2.5 games of the World Series maybe, cause I was just annoyed during it. But yeah, like you said, dude, I'm hyped about the Jets. So that's going awesome. Staying in the loop with the Yanks, dude, but same stuff. I don't know how I feel. I was just going to ask you this too. I don't know if I feel better or worse about the Yankees or the Astros winning the World Series. Like, do I feel better because, all right, the Yankees lost to the best team in the league? Or do I feel worse because, like, it's the Astros? I don't know.
Honestly, they were just so dominant this year that I just didn't really even care. And thinking about, I know there's people out on social media still talk about the sign stealing and everything and their cheaters. You can take that.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Anymore,
I thought the silver linings that I took, I was a fan of Dusty Baker for a while, and I know people were beating that to death, but I thought it was good for him to win, and he's been a good tenured manager, managing a lot of really great teams in his history.
I did not know that's the only – this is the only World Series he's won as a manager, dude.
Yeah, no, he's been
waiting
for a while.
I thought he's won one.
No, he's been waiting for a while, and I thought his Hall of Fame career was already solidified, but this further does. And I think it was cool to see Trey Mancini. I was a fan of Trey Mancini and his journey. So I thought a little silver linings there. But yeah, the Astros are just like, I don't want to
same
make,
team I, next year too.
Yeah,
the exact same team.
I don't want to like make this into like a legacy talk about the Astros, but you really think about how many times they've appeared in World Series, the winning seasons, losing Correa, then getting Pena and getting all these guys back in the mix. And I think Dusty Baker was a large part of that, but it's they're still there. Like you said, like we're going to have to overcome that team for years to come, I think. And it's not like it's not like it's getting any easier. So that's why the Yankees got a big, a tall mountain to climb, it seems as though. So
that they definitely do.
But yeah, let's talk about, before we get into the free agency stuff, talk about the press conference. But if this, as I will say continuously throughout the offseason, if this is your first time joining us, we really appreciate it. Be sure to subscribe, leave us a rate and review. Go follow us on our social channels, at 4TrainSavages on Instagram and TikTok, and at 4Savages on Twitter. So we love to see the growth during the season, and we hopefully to see some growth during this offseason and have some more listeners join us. So we really appreciate you guys for hopping on and listening. So yeah, this so you said that you did watch the press conference. I watched it live, just said, yep, like, let me ruin my Friday and just like get in a bad mood and watch this stuff. So flat out, they didn't really give you anything to chew on. Like, there's nothing here that was going to make you feel better or worse, or honestly probably worse for more pessimistic fans. But Boone talked about how the Yankees weren't able to slay the dragon, quote-unquote, with Houston, and talked about how he wants Judge to be a Yankee forever. He touched on Donaldson stuff. He touched on IKF. But I will say, I don't know if you got, because I know that you tuned in a little bit, but I did feel as though I don't know if it's just the changing, and I don't know how the media operates now of the beat writers, at least within there. And I know that we've talked to a few of them and have had them on the pod before, but it did feel like they could have been pressed a little bit more on certain things. Did you take that away as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think last year they gave us some stuff to chew on. Like you said, like they said, Glaber's not a starting shortstop. The year before. So they gave us something to kind of go after. They were very like, hey, we lost, you know, they mentioned the injuries a couple times. It was nice to see that they at least mentioned that they're not on the same level as Houston. But in terms of like personnel and stuff and things for next year, they didn't give us much to kind of look at or kind of analyze, really. So yeah.
Yeah. The two questions that I thought did a good job, and the one thing that I wanted to talk about Cashman, that then we will transition into the talk about the free agents. But I know Sweeney asked one good question, which I will talk about to Cashman. But I think the other good question that really shouldn't have kind of been posed at Boone, but it was posed at Boone, was asking about IKF. I forget what the writer's name was, but he asked a good question about what do you guys see behind the curtain that tells you that IKF is a good shortstop? And what are these numbers that are telling you about the left side of the infield and organizationally what you do? That's more of a question that I thought should have been posed to Brian Cashman, but also because we've heard rumblings that Boone he's not so much like an IKF guy. Like, it was his call. There were rumors about that of him being the one. So I thought that question, because just telling by the answer, like I tweeted it out, like that was the most, I don't want to say it was like sort of a cringe answer, because one, he shouldn't really be answering that. I thought it was more of a front office question, because they have so many guys making the decisions, and I didn't think that was something that could be posed at Boone. But those were the only questions that I thought and that really made a impact. But the one that stood out to me the most in these press conferences was when friend of the pod, Sweeney Murdy, asked Brian Cashman about essentially what do you say to the critics that are saying, looking at the results of the Yankees and saying this should be, you look at the results and this is what a good season is judged off of, and this is what your benchmark and how you should be evaluated. And Brian Cashman essentially said, well, I am a testament, or I am the example of when you have a good process that you are going to, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is based on the results and this is how your job should be evaluated.
Yeah, that was annoying.
That was the one to me that really, and dude, it cut into me a little bit, and I think I knew that was how they operated. Like, it wasn't a surprise to me, just to hear it was a little disheartening, because I know that's the way that they're going to operate from here on out, and that's just how it's going to be. And it was just a little discouraging, because at times in sports, like, if you have a good process, typically results will follow. But then a lot of Yankee fans are questioning, well, is their process really good? Because it's one of the things that I wish some of the beat writers asked during the conversation is like, why were you, what were the internal conversations of you going on for 2 months about Peraza? And why were these guys not being called up? Like, those were the kind of questions that I wish that they pushed a little bit, because we do question their process. We don't know what that, we're not so confident in that. And Brian Cashman and this regime has really been an outlier in sports, where typically results do dictate how the fans feel and what then front office changes may be made. So that's just the changing of the guard in this Yankee situation, that like, they're an outlier, and they do, and it seems that they're comfortable with it, that they're comfortable with their process, and that that's how they're going to go forward. Is it the norm in sports? I've had this conversation with you. Is it the norm in sports? Not really, but that's just the way that they operate. So it was tough to hear that part, especially for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the silver lining. Like, in a way, it makes sense, but it just shouldn't have been said, I don't think. Because it kind of relates back to them hinting at not having DJ, not having Benny. But, I mean, as a fan, you don't really want to hear that. I'd rather have them just say, like, oh, yeah, we were really disappointed in, you know, not just the players, but the coaching staff and the, you know, the front office and the whole org top to bottom. But they really didn't. They just kind of gave this weird, fuzzy excuse as to why, you know, everyone that's been here for so long will continue to be here, because the process that we believe to eventually, that it will eventually work, is going well. And we're not too concerned about the results as long as the process is there.
Which isn't, it's so. Just that, I'm sorry, man. That's just, that's not how sports, that's not how like a lot of stuff goes, like business wise. Like, yes, we're more so, I would say more so like, if you have a good process and you do things correctly and you have good habits, then good stuff typically follows. But we question what that process is a lot of times with the Yankees, and you go, is it that good? Are you guys doing it correctly? Like, we look at some of the stuff, like left side of the infield, some of the moves that are made. So, yeah, that was tough to hear. Other stuff that came out of the press conference, the process over results, and then they talked about, Cashman mentioned how he would like to bring back contact hitters, and they thought that they did that with DJ and Benny. He did, as we predicted, we thought this would come. He talked about their injuries being a factor in the playoffs, which was to no surprise.
It kind of, like, unfortunately, it is true. I don't know if the Yankees would have, I don't think they would have won the series. But I don't, would they have gotten swept? I don't know. Would Cleveland have went 5 games? I don't know.
Personally, I think they still get, I don't know if they get swept. I think that they still get mopped by the Astros.
Yeah,
I still
that's think what it seemed get. Like, yeah.
But, so they talked about that. The other one from Boone that not necessarily seriously critical of him, but just maybe the thoughts of the organization as a whole, was when they mentioned Josh Donaldson and how they didn't flat out say it was a fluke year for him, but they said he never got in a groove. And it seems as though we'll get into it, but it seems as though he's under contract, so it may be a situation where the Yankees may bring him back and may say, hey, chalk it up to it was just weird, and we're going to have to see how much longer of a leash they give with him. I mean, a whole season of when they're saying, oh, this is when he's going to get going, this is when he's going to get going. We would all argue that's a longer leash than entailed, but we don't know how they're going to view it heading into the next season. We'll see if they could get his money off the books and move him somewhere, but it seems as though that they said, well, we were looking for somewhat of a guy. Boone said that he wasn't looking for the 2015 guy, but even something within the Minnesota days, and we didn't get anything really close to that. Do you like, what did you take away from what they said with Donaldson.
It sounds like he's their starting third baseman next year, dude.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like. I'm not going to be surprised unless they make him vanish somehow. I don't know if they will. It's going to be really tough. You're going to have to attach some prospects or something. You're going to have to eat some of it. I don't agree with anything in terms of the offense. Like, yeah, you can just say, oh, he had some good swings here. He had a couple good games there, but he just never got going. Yeah, he had a bad year. Like, we could say the same thing about Joey Gallo. You know, he had a big homer here, a couple good swings here, hits a double there, walks a couple dimes there, but he never got it going. Yeah, because he had a bad year, dude. Like, he didn't play well. He's also old. I don't know if another year is going to be – I don't know why there's reason for me to believe that there should be improvement offensively from Donaldson next year. That I think that's my biggest thing. Yeah. There's nothing that pointed to me and was like, yeah, that guy can hit competitive pitching next year. Or you know, he finally got healthy, played a big stretch of games, and he can. I can see him putting it together for 160 next year. I don't at the moment. And it's annoying if they actually are locked into Donaldson. They're not just saying that.
Only time will tell. Only time will tell with what they actually do. They also, noteworthy stuff, they did exercise Severino's option, so he will be back for 2023, which is great. Seems like they want Rizzo back. They also sent the qualifying offers their way to Judge and Rizzo, and obviously they will not be taking those. They will be exploring what the market has to offer. You know, we talked about this a lot with Judge. You know, a lot of these guys are getting the opportunity because it's not like the NBA as much. Because like the NBA, I feel like there's far more movement, and a lot of the baseball players want to be wined and dined, and they want to experience free agency as they should. If they do, the question is if they go elsewhere and they actually do end up signing with another team. But the other move that was made, who is this guy? They added Johnny Brito and Matt Crook to the Major League roster. So a couple of seems like bullpen arms. So they will be, we'll see however they filter in the mix. If that. You know, Judge won a Silver Slugger, which was cool. Jose Trevino got a Gold Glove. DJ got the first ever utility Gold Glove in the American League, which was cool. Judge also
I heard Boone said on the K show that DJ was pretty happy with that, I guess.
Yeah.
So I guess that's cool.
They actually got platinum gloves, too. So I guess that's
that's
very cool to see. Other noteworthy stuff. Judge won the Hank Aaron Award, I believe, as well as the American League Outstanding Player of the Year. So, I mean,
do you know when the MVP gets announced, dude?
I think in December. I think they do something like they do something in December. So, but I mean, he is one of three candidates with Yordan and Shohei. So we'll have to see if all of our long barking about him having to be the MVP will come to fruition.
At least give us that, dude.
I know. Just give us something, man. All right. So we talked about the press conferences, covered some notes. I don't think I missed any of the little signings or anything that may have happened already.
Yeah. Rizzo obviously got. Did you say Rizzo got? He opted out.
Yeah, he opted out, and Yankees obviously want him back. We'll see if that does happen.
Tyone not given the qualifying offer.
Yeah, so I think Tyone is probably gonna command a penny, so they didn't wanna, risk that because it would then handicap them from other moves. So
yeah,
as he should. Like J-Mo is a solid starting pitcher on the market. I don't really we'll get into it, but I don't really think he will be back. Is my gut feeling?
I don't think so either.
They'd
have to pay him like $20 million, and that's not there's no reason to do that for your fourth starter.
But I think obviously free agency is upon us, and before anything else can really happen, we want the first case of business to be Aaron Judge hopefully re-signing his deal with the Yankees. When that timetable looks like, we don't know. ideally we would like it to happen before New Year's, but and I'm sure the Yankees would, so they can then sign other guys and get everything else situated, because that's the big domino that has to fall before the Yankees can really do, you know, you want to know what your money flexibility is before then, if, you know, if God forbid, you know, Judge signs elsewhere and then other guys are going in free agency, then you're just sitting there saying, well, damn, we have to pick from the bottom of the barrel at that point, you would think. So I don't know. The one noteworthy thing is Judge isn't a Boris client, and Scott Boras likes to bring his drag out his clients in the longer, you know, negotiations. So maybe
his agent's been with him since high school, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, so maybe there's a situation, you know, we get a little Christmas present later in December and get Judge re-signed. But I mean, I think hopefully, oh, there's DJ, but there's DJ. Park it a little bit. But the I mean, dude, like ideally I want him signed. I know a lot of people in our comments on like social media are talking, saying, oh, I don't know if I want to re-sign him with the bad postseason, but like, dude, I really don't see this. Like, if Aaron Judge isn't on this team next year, like this has to be number one top priority, top of the list, that Aaron Judge needs to be back in pinstripes, because if he's not,
you're talking 2015, 2014 rebuild.
Yeah, like you're,
if he's not,
you're talking, you know, the Yankees could still have a winning season. I think they have a lot of talent on the roster, but I think if Aaron Judge isn't on this team, he's that important that you need to get this deal done, and you need to have him to have any hopes of winning a division, the long-term goal of winning a title. But like I'm saying, like responding back in the comments, like I don't know if this team is even, you know, they're on a wild card cusp, if they're making the playoffs.
A lot of things have to go right if you want to be good without Judge.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very likely. Nothing goes right for us.
they have to square this away and get the deal done, and it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, hopefully we'd want to get it done before, you know, New Year's, but I don't know what his agency's trying to do. So,
when was the last normal offseason we had? Because 2020, like that's
2020,
COVID.
2020 was COVID. 2021 last year was weird because of
the lockout.
I think
the CBA. There was the accelerated free agency, and then there was nothing for like 3-4 months.
2019 was also weird because
2019 DJ got signed at some point in the winter.
Yeah, he was later though, I think. And like Cole signed during the winter meetings. I know that.
Yeah, so Cole was in December. DJ was sometime in the winter. I don't know, dude. I hope we know by January. That would be great, because Yankees basically can't do shit until they know.
Yeah, exactly. But we're going
to just bring in a left fielder or something.
Hypothetically, we're going to turn our brains that like Judge is on the team and then work out these other deals, because it wouldn't be fun if we weren't, you know, talking about this stuff.
Yeah, we're being optimistic.
So this is all barring if obviously Judge resigns, and we have to preface that a lot, so you'll be hearing that. But like I think, looking at the rest of the market for first baseman, I think you have to resign Anthony Rizzo, man. Like,
yeah,
the Yankees extended the qualifying offer, but I think I was telling you, maybe between 20-22 mil annually, and he's going to want to probably be locked up for, you know, you were saying maybe like another 2-3 years, probably a 3-year deal, I would think. But he wants a little bit more security and wants some money coming his way, because he did have a good year and he is deserving of that. And I think the Yankees have to do that. Like, he played himself into that a better contract, and then he opted out. So, and the Yankees looking at the first baseman market, and like Rizzo is just a Yankee. He just plays the part perfectly. Him and Judge are boys, so if Judge comes back as well, I feel like that's a package deal for the both of them. And just looking at the rest of the, like, you're just saying, like, get that guy back in here. And we know he had his injury issues, but I think that looking at the other options, man, Rizzo's got to be back in pinstripes for me.
Yeah, 100%. I said to you before we got on the pod, there's like a possibility, like I heard rumors of Brandon Belt or something. And yeah, I think he had a really good 2020 and like a good, maybe it was 2019, but the dude can't really stay healthy, and like you said, Rizzo, dude, is the perfect Yankee. He kind of solidifies the infield's defense as a whole. Hit 32 homers again, tied his career high at the age of, what, 33, something like that. Especially with these young kids coming up, and hopefully Peraza's playing short, maybe Volpe playing second.
He'll
next
be an
year.
Awesome voice in the locker room.
Yeah, something like that. It's a really big advantage to just know that, you know, your middle infielders can just kind of fling it over there. And nine times out of ten, Riz is scooping it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, exactly what you just said. He's a big voice in the locker room, and you got to get it done somehow. I think, you know, hopefully 3 or 60, like, I feel like that should get it done. Yanks might try and go even lower than that, but I don't know, man. It's very weird this offseason, because I could see a world where they're just like, let's just let Rizzo walk and have DJ play first.
Yeah. I thought that last year. I'll be fully transparent, but now I'm like, nah, you can't do that. You can't do that.
But I could see them being like, DJ's been banged up, jumping around the last couple of years, blah, blah, blah.
That goes into another conversation. I think you got to make him the full-time second baseman and just give him – like, his body seems to be unfortunately breaking down, but I think you got to make him the full-time second baseman, which we'll talk about. But so what do you want? What are your ideas for left field? Like, what do you think the Yankees should do in left field?
I mean, I think it kind of has to be Andrew Benintendi. I don't know if I want Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, I love Oswaldo Cabrera. I don't think that puts us in the best position to win, to definitely have him as the left fielder next year. I think Waldo is definitely a part of this team in some capacity next year, whether he takes DJ's role as like the super util guy. But I feel like Benny's got to be back, dude.
Yeah.
Has to be.
I think you have to bring back Andrew Benintendi. And I know, like, this is, again, talking about what the options are at first base. But if you look at the crop of left fielders, Andrew Benintendi stands out the most on the page when you're looking at him. And obviously you have to see what a contract situation and how much you're going to sign him for. But, you know, you're looking at other options of David Peralta. Not really. If you're looking at Jock Peterson at 30, okay, maybe. But I think Benintendi at 28 and the season that he came off of, I think he's familiar now, and he performed well when he was given the chance in New York. And he's played in big markets. I think he's just the perfect fit to have in left field. And I know people have been throwing out, they want Brandon Nimmo to play left field. I think he's going to command even more money. And I think Brandon Nimmo, one, he's older. He hasn't played. He's only mm-hmm. played over 100 seasons twice in his career. I do not want that. That just screams bad news to me. So I think Benintendi fits the mold. And I think he was getting along really well with the guys. And I really think you have to re-sign. It goes, obviously, re-sign Judge, re-sign Rizzo, re-sign Benintendi, and then the rest of it is we got to figure out the infield positions and figure out mm-hmm. that. So I think, because if you
heard,
yeah.
No, I was going to say, I did see a tweet that apparently GMs are calling with the Yankees abundance of infielders. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, even a prospect got moved or Glaber or something.
Well, dude, even like so if we get back Benintendi and you have Benintendi in left, Bader in center, Judge in right, like that's
really
a
good outfield,
really
dude.
Good outfield, man. Yeah. Really good. You have two contact guys.
Especially defensively.
Defensively,
dude. That's like
it is
all
a
time.
Defensively, it is a dirty outfield. And you're still you're a young outfield too. I mean, you have Judge is the oldest guy in that equation. He's just coming off an MVP season, or should be MVP season. But you have Benintendi, who's a stud. And Benintendi and Rizzo fit that mold of contact hitters. So, like, in my mind, I think you figure out how to get those guys back in the mix, and you got to figure out to fix the infield and fix if you can. Unfortunately, like, it sucks. But it's going to take a lot of maneuvering to get rid of Donaldson at third base. I really think, and I have a hunch that he's coming back. I really do. So that brings us, I think, and this is your guy. You've been a huge fan of him, and I still think you're a fan of him. But
Glaber, yeah.
I think that the course of action, and I think because of how the Yankees operate, is you, and I know a lot of fans have been at saying that you should trade Glaber, but that is the course of action I think the Yankees are going to have to do to then improve the team. So Glaber played well in 2021, but he did have that bad August that will stick in the minds of Yankee fans. And then you have the younger guys coming up in Peraza, Volpe, Cabrera could play second base. So it's really a logjam. And then obviously DJ, we'd want DJ to play full time at second base. So to me, and Glaber's already been mentioned in trade deals. So I think it's unfortunate because Glaber did have a quality year last year, but I think that I just think he's kind of the odd man out, and he has the most MLB ready value for that allures teams.
Yeah, no, and it will be sad if Glaber leaves, Rob. And I don't want to say we were right back in August when he had the worst month of his career, but we came on this pod and we were like, dude, Gleyber Torres is playing himself completely off the Yankees roster. And I don't want to say it was that specifically that might catapult this trade to move forward, but I do think he's going to get traded this offseason. Whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, I think time will tell with that. But it's going to be very strange. I think there needs to be an opening somewhere for these kids to come up, because Peraza and Volpe are right on the pedestal, or on this pedestal to make an impact in the Bronx. And I think, like you said, he is the MLB-ready dude. They're not going to move DJ. One, they signed him 2 years ago, and two, DJ can play everywhere. So I think Glaber's definitely that guy that's going to get moved, and we'll just kind of see. It'll be sad, dude, but I really think the inconsistency throughout the year, the really bad August, the not doing much in the playoffs, especially when you were a dude that has, you know, recently always produced in the playoffs, I think it all kind of ties together, and you're like, hey, this is, you know, for the most part, a pretty league average baseball player right now.
Yeah, it frees up money, too. It frees up some money.
We're giving him – he's had run at it for 3 years now, Rob, since the 2019 season, where we've been like, hey, we got to see something. And this was the only year where we saw, you know, a little bit of more than what we had gotten the last couple years. But I don't think 2019 Glaber is a thing again, honestly, unfortunately. And I think that will lead to him being traded.
Yeah. Sticking with the Yankees, quick before we head into other outsider free agent targets. So Tyone, we kind of talked about it. I don't really see J-Mo coming back just because of the money he will demand. Like, he's a very quality starter. And you have Montas under control for another year, and Herman is going to be in the mix to be your 4 and 5. And I think the Yankees starting pitching staff is in the best situation that it has been in quite a while, especially under this, you know, past decade. So there will be people asking for Verlander and asking for starting pitching that we'll talk about, but it's right now, obviously we have to see the season play out, but going into the season, it's the best starting pitching we've had in quite some time. So I think J-Mo will probably end up going somewhere else and commanding money, because, you know, the Yankees denied that 20 mil, so he could even get a little bit over that, dare I say. So, someone's going to pay him for sure. But
for Benny?
No, for Tyone.
Yeah, I think he'll get 3 years, 62, something like that as well.
All right, so we talked about Donaldson, but does IKF fit in this equation? Like, does IKF...
I think he's on the team, dude.
Yeah. I mean, he would free up – I think he would free up like 6 mil, I think he has under his contract. So I don't –
if there's any way that they get – like he, like you said, just from that, he costs nothing. And they'd have to totally admit that they were wrong, like they did with Gallo.
Yeah, and you're saying the whole value of taking on that that Donaldson contract was IKF, and then you're saying, oh my God. So yeah,
they're still telling us that he was a top defensive shortstop in the league. Like they're still saying that. They still believe that. So I don't think he fits anywhere. But like in Tyler's head, he doesn't fit anywhere. In the Yankees front office, he fits very well right at shortstop, according to them.
But so I guess this is closer to the season. We have to see the moves play out. But like,
yeah,
is there a world where he's the starting shortstop next year on opening day?
Yeah, I definitely think there's a world.
Yeah,
I definitely think there is that world. Unfortunately, like say. It's gonna suck, dude. Like, say they're say in the spring training, dude, IKF hits 320, gets on base, slaps the ball around, Brazzer, Volpe struggles. I can easily see them being like, "Yep, IKF, it's your job until you know the young dudes prove otherwise." What a way to treat your prospects. I'm already annoyed about it, and it hasn't even happened yet.
Tough world. Tough world. All right, well, I think we covered most of the guys. The bullpen arms we can kind of go into. Like, I don't think Chad Green comes back.
No, that kind of sucks for him getting hurt on the contract year, too.
Yeah, Castro's gone, I think.
Britton's gone.
Chapman's gone. Chapman's hopefully gone. You saw that tweet that went out the other day. Twitter
verification. Yeah, that was scary.
It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough.
Twitter's in a weird they stopped it, right? I read like 4 hours ago you can't sign up for it anymore.
I don't know, but it's going to be – I know there are some people that are still – like got the Twitter blue that are under the label. So MLB free agency, especially because like we – I think a lot of the ways that we look through free agency deals is when the beat reporters will tweet it out. So now this new Twitter verification, as we saw through the Chapman fake tweet that of a user that put up the verification, it's like it's going to make it challenging to say and – Not so much challenging.
So funny,
all
honestly.
You really got to do is just click on the profile more and just not look through the feed or whatever anybody retweets and just verify it before you look through. But I know some people.
Yeah,
I know with like NBA deals and stuff, people are getting fooled.
I got fooled with there was a Woj one yesterday where it was like the Brooklyn Nets have released Kyrie Irving, and I texted my buddy and I was like, "Yo, they finally released him," and then I saw it. It was freaking fake.
But yeah, so. Be on the lookout for that. My best word of advice is probably just click on the profile and just make sure it's the person. All right, so this free agency class, dude.
You want to see what they project Benny to get?
Yeah, what do they got?
They're saying something along the lines of 4 years, 70 mil.
I would sign up for that.
I would definitely do that. I think it's in the same boat as Starling Marte last year when we wanted him. Same type of price point.
Yeah, I'd sign up.
Similar
for that.
Player with way less pop, but gets on base, hits for high average.
He does what the Yankees need to fit into the equation, I think.
Exactly.
So
can be a leadoff hitter.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully
yeah,
they learn from not signing Starling Marte, dude.
I saw like a projected lineup because we didn't see Benny in the mix, but like to think you have a lineup of Benintendi, Bader, Judge, Stanton, and like that's the start, and then we have to see, but like that say that would be a first four, or you mix in Rizzo or first five when you have Rizzo of those guys. That's a quality lineup that I think can win, and then you fix the infield. So
even if you have, you know, say Benny resigns and you still have Benny, take one of the kids, so Volpe or Peraza. So Benny, Volpe, Peraza, Bader, and then Cabrera somewhere as well. Like, boom, you're kind of a more athletic team than you really ever have been, honestly.
Uh-huh. And you're young too. Like Benny's under 30, Bader's under 30, Judge is 30, but you know that's your stud guy. And I think you would have a really good mix of younger players and veterans if you do bring back those dudes that we did have that we want back. It's just so we got to figure out the rest.
We got to talk to the bondholders.
Let's see. So the one free agent that I know a lot of people is on a lot of people's wish list that I would love. Like ideally, yes, if the Yankees actually spent money. And he could fit in a lot of different spots for the Yankees. I would love if the Yankees said, F it, we're going out, we're getting Trey Turner. Is it likely? Probably not. But
he can play the outfield too, dude.
He could play the outfield. I would hope, unlike what we've seen in the past of Bryce Harper not even getting a meeting with the Yankees, I would hope that they would extend a meeting and see what they can do with Trey Turner. I think like you said, he could play the outfield. He could play a bunch of different positions. And if the Yankees were in the world of like spending the money that they typically have in their history, it would be a fantastic fit, in my opinion. It's just, are the Yankees willing to go to that lengths? And I just don't think that they are at this point. It would be an amazing surprise if they did. And it would be an awesome thing for Yankee fans to see.
It'd be a classic Yankee move, dude.
It would. It really would. But I just don't know if it's really in the cards. And we'll just have to see. Like, and if you do have Trey Turner, it gives you, you know, you could put Volpe at second base if you need to do Peraza or whatever. Like, you could put him in so many different spots that it would make it make your lineup. It'd honestly be very fun to make a lineup like that if you put in a Trey Turner. So,
yeah,
but I don't see it happening.
That lineup would be unreal. Yeah, I don't see it happening either. I mean, to pass on all the guys you passed on last year to go and sign him this year, it'd be some sort of sneak attack. But I don't know if they like say they lose Judge, bro.
Yeah, if they lose Judge,
I think they go after Trey Turner.
Yeah, if they lose Judge, a lot of other people are.
Or Xander or someone like that.
A lot of other people are in play if they do lose Judge. So, but if we're thinking that they would have Judge in the equation, and then you say, let's get that much better. Because it's really like, and fans will say, oh, it's you're being too wishful or you're just being the Yankees. But like, look at what the Dodgers do every year of where he's coming from. Like, the Mets are going to throw money at people, and I don't think it should be out of the realm of possibilities for Yankee fans to say, like, you know, why don't we're looking at these other market teams that we have more value than, and you're saying, can we at least give him a meeting and see and extend him a contract and see if he'd be willing to come? Is I don't really think that's too much to ask as Yankee fans. So,
yeah, it is wishful thinking, though.
It is, yeah.
I would like to, you know, that the Yankees, or not the Yankees, but you know, at the bare minimum, journalists will be saying that Trey Turner connected with the Yankees, or Yankees in on Trey Turner. Yankees are going to be on everyone.
John Heyman.
Apparently Heyman. To Twitter people. We'll be in on everyone. Verlander, there's already rumors with that.
What do you think?
Trey Turner.
Let's talk about that. What do you think about Verlander?
Yeah. I think he's going back to Houston, dude. I don't think he's coming to New York. I'd be very surprised. I would love it. Like, dude, pay him $30 million, pitch for a year for us. Like, I would love that. I'd break the bank to have Verlander pitch in any capacity for the Yankees, even if it was, you know, say he's hurt half the year, and then he just pitches an insane postseason. Like, great, sign me up. Yanks don't need it. They don't need it at all, but it's just classic Yankees, the Yankee way, that because they love short contracts now, yeah. Dude. That's their thing.
Like, I think I would be on board if it was just like the Yankees got their FU attitude and they just said, okay, we're going to spend $30 million on him and we don't even care and we're just going to give it to him for a year. Like, and if they committed to doing that, I would not mind it. But I just think if that was a deal that they did and they operated within what the Yankees are now doing, and they gave him 30 mil, and then they couldn't make other deals, I'd be like, well, I get that starting pitching is great, but we are in the best situation with starting pitching. And Verlander did, he pitched well in that last World Series game, but it looks like he's only getting older, and I don't want to, like, I don't know. I just think, like, if it's like FU spending money, I'd absolutely do it. But if it handicaps them from doing other stuff, like you said, like it's not an area of need as much as position players are. So,
It would be very cool, but it wouldn't be something I would. Wouldn't be something I would expect, and I do think he's staying in Houston.
What other? I just threw out Brandon Drury because, like, it was funny because he was on our team and then he got hurt, and then that's what Miguel Andujar came up. But he had a good year. So, like, that's maybe one at third base, but if they were somehow able to move Donaldson. But what other free agents are on your radar, obviously, barring what they do with Judge and everybody else?
I think Rodon is a pretty easy one to throw out there just because he's Carlos Rodon. He's going to demand, obviously, way more than Verlander. He'll probably get at least a 5-6 year deal. Obviously, we just talked about don't need pitching right now. But say one of those starters gets hurt, dude, which is going to happen regardless. That's just how baseball works. Are the Yankees thin at pitching if Nestor gets hurt? Are they thin if Seve gets hurt? I mean, we're relying on Montas to be our, what, 3 or 4 right now? Mm-hmm. It's kind of a weird thing. I'm very interested to see what the Yankees will do this offseason, but I'm preparing for almost nothing. In terms of position players,
set the bar low. I like it.
Set the bar low. In terms of position players, I think it's really just about retaining talent, honestly. I think if Rizzo walks, I could see them doing Brandon Belt, dude. I really could. Like, it just seems like a Yankee freaking move. Like, oh, he had a good year a couple years ago.
We're going to be in for a long year if that's it.
Yeah, let's just do a prove-it year, and then, you know, that kind of happens. I hope not, but like we said, this all is up to Judge, but we're acting as if Judge is on the team right now.
Carlos Correa?
Yeah, that would be sick, dude. But now he's definitely going to go get his 10-year bag, I think, like his big bag.
Yeah. I could see him going to Philadelphia, actually. I was saying that to one of my friends. I was saying, you better watch out because he's a Red Sox fan. I was like, Xander could go to the Red Sox. So.
Didn't Trey Turner say?
To the Phillies, I mean.
Oh, Xander to the Phillies? Didn't Trey Turner say he wants to go to the Phillies?
I heard
too?
That rumor, but I think because like Seattle needs a shortstop. Phillies need a shortstop. I mean, yeah. Yankees need a shortstop, but like we know that they're probably going to go with their younger guys. So
at least play the young dudes, bro. I don't know.
There's solid guys on the market, though, for sure, that could fit in the mix. But, like, there's some older guys. Like, you mentioned Brandon Belt. There's some older guys on this list that I'm like.
Jock Peterson would be really cool to see in left field, honestly. I would like him. I don't know how you feel about him.
I don't mind him. I just would say I'd put Benintendi ahead of him. I wouldn't mind if they got Jock Peterson. I just like Benintendi. I think Benintendi is a little bit more. Like agile, he's young, he's a little young, he's 2 years younger, I think. He's already been here, but if say Benintendi went somewhere else, I'd be fully cool with them getting Jock Peterson.
What if they went out, like, this might be crazy, but what is Jose Abreu demanding at 36, bro? You know, like,
I was
2 years,
I was
50
at that,
mil, yeah. Like, is Josh Bell an option? I think Yuli will ultimately go back to Houston just because it feels like they all stay there besides Correa.
Gary Sanchez is a free agent.
Yeah, Gary Sanchez is a catcher. Like, who knows, dude? Maybe they trade Glaber and they don't think – and they lose Rizzo and then DJ's over at first and then they go and get Adam Frazier or they get Gene Segura, like, to play second until one of the kids is ready. Like, I think we –
we are in for of an offseason, bro.
I'm not expecting anything big, but I'm expecting a lot of movement, honestly, especially if we don't – because right, I think there's almost 0% chance we retain Judge, Benny, and Rizzo. So
you think there's a 0% chance?
For all three of them, dude? I don't know.
I would at least put it at like 30%.
Because then you're – all right, so say Judge makes 40. And then Rizzo and Benny make 20 each. Mm-hmm. That's $80 million right there that they're slapping on the payroll.
I mean, I'm thinking. Hopefully, then somehow. I guess I'm wishful thinking, but then I would hope that
Didi's a free agent.
Get Josh Donaldson out of there. You trade Glaber, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, you're more realistic thinking, but I would hope that they could retain those guys and trade.
I
Glaber
hope so
and get
too.
Something, but.
Evan Longoria, imagine they brought him in.
Dude, I was looking at that, and I saw him on the list. I was like, oh, my God, imagine they somehow – although that would
I'm
be –
I'm also big fans of Pollock and David Peralta, too. I would like either of them to play left field. Tommy
Older
Pham
guys,
also,
though,
man.
But
– I don't think – if they lock up a left fielder, I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, because they can't just be like, yeah, Cabrera, you're our left fielder. Like, who's your bench then?
Yeah.
Are you going to go sign Marwin again? Like,
nah, let's hope not.
Gene Segura? Jock? I don't know. Justin Turner's a free agent.
I think Jock Peterson could probably get some good money too. That I think,
yeah,
not necessarily maybe as much as Benny, but I think he's going to demand a pretty penny.
At least the Yankees don't need a freaking center fielder this year.
Yankees steal Jacob DeGrom from the Mets?
Yeah, that would be wild. I am like, he has been a Brave in my head for like since June.
Well, apparently Texas is in on him.
I think he's so gone. I did see that. I can see him going to I think he's leaving the East Coast.
I think he apparently the rumor is that he wants to go, like his wife wants to go to a new market, but I think Texas will be a big play for a lot of free agents because they just hired Bruce Bochy, so and he's an older manager. He's 64, so he's going to want like they're not going to just hire him and be like, you know, they have their two big locked up guys in Simeon and Corey Seager. So they're still in a win now. Like they have those guys. New stadium. I think that they could go hard after DeGrom and hard after like a lot of these
low income tax too. There.
Yeah, and that plays.
It's wild. People will take that into consideration. Yeah, people definitely take that.
You're getting more money. I remember.
I think DeGrom is as good as gone from the Mets though. Like I think there's a no percent chance that happens.
I saw a TikTok about like just talk, it was for NBA players, but it still relates to this because it was like talking about Kyrie Irving's contract and how much taxes take out. Like New York takes out so much money for these athletes.
Screwed in New York and California.
You're thinking if like DeGrom gets like 180 mil for however many years, and you're saving yourself a lot of millions of dollars if you're going to Texas.
Exactly.
So. I could fully see him going somewhere and
God knows how true this is, but I remember Tyreek Hill was like, yeah, part of the reason why I chose the Dolphins over the Jets was because like I make so much more money if I live in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big play for them, and I'm sure maybe some of the Yankees are thinking about that for sure.
Yeah.
But I think we touched on a lot of good stuff. Free agency is now underway, so we'll be sure to hopefully hop on the pod. I will be going to the Giants game though this weekend on Sunday, so I'm
let's go
pumped for that.
Who are they playing?
The Texans. So I'm hoping to see a win. So
okay,
hopefully news does not break on Sunday because we want to be ready to go.
We want to be ready to roll.
Ready to chat about it. But
dude, Elvis Andrews had a 5.1 WAR this year.
That's got to be a lot from defense.
Yeah, though. All defense basically. Yeah. Trey Turner, 13.1. He's a nut. He's going to get paid.
He's going to get a bag.
All right, so this is pure hypothetical, but what if, like, I don't even know how to word this. Are you sad if they lose out on Judge and then, boom, you just have Trey Turner now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sad about it. They're going to make corresponding moves. This may sound... I don't know if they're as good of a team without Judge. I really don't. I think he's
so
important.
You can't replace him.
But like, I'm not gonna be like if they lose Judge, and they make a lot of the good moves like Turner, and then they maybe make a splash with Benintendi, and then keep other guys. They're still gonna be a good team, but they have to make those moves. They have to do that. Like if they lose out on Judge and Trey Turner goes to Philadelphia. And we're sitting with like
Adam Frazier
and like Jock Peterson. I'm effing pissed. No offense to those guys. No offense to those guys, but like I'm pissed.
Josh Bell.
So
Josh Bell could be a Yankee play too, dude.
I don't mind Josh Bell, but I would probably rather Rizzo.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of stuff in play. It all depends, man. It all depends.
Mike
on
Zunino,
this Judge
really
stuff.
Good catcher.
You want to? What do you think about the catching situation? Do you think they just stick with Trevino? I think Higgy could potentially be gone, and they bring in more of it.
I think Trevino is definitely – I think they are sold on the platoon thing, though. Like, I think no matter what, they're going to have, like, a 60-40 split or something.
I don't need them to make a big catching move, though, because, like, we saw what, you know, Astros went in with Maldonado, and Jose was making some very good contributions, so I'm cool with running it back and then having another guy, bringing in a different guy that's a platoon to pair with Trevino. Like I don't mind that at all.
Austin Romine back, dude.
Oh, imagine getting him throwing punches at Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, even if they brought in Christian Vasquez, who I hate.
Yes, same.
To play against, I'd be like, cool, Christian Vasquez and Trevino, like. Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be cool if they got rid of Higgy, honestly, even though I love Higgy.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they changed. I mean, Higgy's hitting 30 or he's going on 32 now, so it may be a situation where they bring in a newer guy. But
Wilson
they
Contreras
also could bring it back.
Get, Yeah, Wilson Contreras is going to get paid.
I'm not going to tolerate the people on Yankees Twitter talking, bring in Wilson Contreras.
Bro, I feel like it's been like that for how many years now? Like at least five.
I was on board with that when they had, like, I think it was Gary, but I was like, all right, maybe bring in Wilson and see what he can do to hit. But like, now I'm just like, okay, I'm okay with that.
There's a lot of pitchers.
Syndergaard's out there. I do not want Noah Syndergaard.
Eovaldi, Bassett, Kyle Gibson, Martin Perez had a really good year. Sean Manaea.
A lot of good, solid dudes. But there's a chance they make a pitching move. I will say that.
Yeah, no, I think there is. It's always weird. They do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh no, dude! I fully anticipate this offseason could be like we're having these expectations last year in 2021 that let's try and get Correa, let's maybe be in on Seager, let's be on these guys, and then we get hit.
Marte. I wanted Marte so bad,
and then they hit us with Donaldson and IKF. I could fully see us talking through all these deals that we'd want the Yankees to make. Oh, go out and get Trey Turner, take a look at Justin Verlander, take a look at this guy, and then they're gonna just get hit with a wave of something we did not see in the realm of possibilities, because that's what they've been doing in these past years. So I 100% think that's going to happen.
They try and get too cute. Like, I'm looking at these two names right now, Michael Wacha and Andrew Heaney, and they just scream.
Bring back Heaney? I don't know, that's bad.
Reunion, and Wacha has just I feel like Wacha dominates us every time he pitches against us.
I could see Wacha being a Yankee.
Ross Stripling. Rich Hill, 42, dude, retire.
Good for him, though, getting some numbers, man.
Taijuan Walker. I kind of like him, honestly.
Yeah, he's been good with the Mets. I wouldn't mind it if it be in play, but he could demand a good contract, though. He reminds me a lot of Jameson Taillon. Like, he may get similar numbers.
Yeah, we're talking all middle of the rotation guys. I mean, because what, next year they got Herman. All right, I'll start from the top. Cole, Nestor, Seve, Montas. Is Herman your five?
Yeah.
Who am I forgetting? Am I forgetting
someone? Montas and then Seve. You said.
Yeah, but no Monty, no J-Mo. Yeah, so they need pitching, actually, I think. That's not depth at all.
Yeah, well, they have Clark.
Seven starters.
They have Clark.
Yeah, Clark, true.
So he could make a big impact, hopefully.
So expect at least one starting pitcher, I would think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think a good one, but.
You know. Alrighty, well, glad to talk through it. There's going to be a lot more time to go through in November, December, January, February. Let's hope they lock up Judge pretty soon. But that is it for episode 125. Thank you guys for joining us. Leave us a rate and review on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. Subscribe to the pod. Follow us at 4TrainSavages on Instagram as well as TikTok, at 4Savages on Twitter. Really appreciate you guys for listening. We will catch you next time.